You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kylo Show. We are on round two of having the Dipmores with us. If you missed the first episode, you could listen to this one, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to that one, too, because you won't want to miss it. I mean, it's grab popcorn. I don't really know what you, Skittles, or if you're on a diet, some carrots. I don't know. But it's like a movie. I mean, you guys talk, and it is so captivating, but it's a movie that's drenched in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels. And, and you know, you are chess pieces in a game that he is absolutely winning.
Yeah.
And he has strategy, too.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
It's so much fun.
Did you say the name of the ministry just for fun?
So City of Refuge is the cityofrefugesac.com is their ministry website. But
if you listen to the first podcast, it will you'll see that there was a joke there that Danny just dropped, but it's all right.
Yeah, we took a while to say it last time. But City of Refuge, they're here in Sacramento, which is super fun because we get to see them and visit them. So I think this episode, I know that we've partnered with you guys and you send us photos and voice memos that I have to not listen to in my car because I know I will be crying and I can't see while I drive.
Yeah.
And I love it. And then I play it for my children in bed when we do our devotionals. And then they ask me questions. And it's just, and you guys live this with your children, which I absolutely love. And you could maybe take half of mine and we trade. I'll do the farm and you do the.
I love it.
My kids won't know what to do. It'll be great.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
But, you know, I would love if you could share some stories just that you've shared with us about kind of the impact of, you know, I personally remember walking in when we got the tour and when we were leaving, a mom came up to me and asked if she'd give me a hug. And I was like, yeah. And then you kind of expanded on, and she was telling me how she's doing the parenting course through Life Academy. Mm-hmm. And she says, I think I can be a good mom, which I'm trying not to just sob.
Yeah.
And you know, this woman that has so much hope again. And she's like, can I just give you a hug? I'm like, girl, we could go to coffee. I mean, we can do more than a hug. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes, keep going. But you've got all this backstory to these beautiful people that didn't know how to have hope. And that's all that you do is infuse hope. Yeah. So if you could share some of those stories, I will hopefully have someone secretly hand me a tissue from the side as I probably cry.
To catch your listeners up, if you didn't catch the first podcast, we have a housing program that serves 126 families, 127 families. We have moms and their kids living in three different houses that we run in the neighborhood, as well as a couple of motels. And and we through our own personal family journey, we actually met your mom years ago, gave us access for us to do Keeping Your Love On with our kids. And so we actually started watching the videos and we went, oh, we need to share these with the moms in our, because it was life-giving to us. And so you guys did, you let us share it. And we have watched countless moms and dads go through the programs, go through the classes and the parenting, the connection, the, you know, you hear them in the hall, don't drop the rope, you know, talking about connection and the power that's in that and our powerful choices and so much of that. It's just been remarkable. Yeah. But Samaya, I mean, I think you know Samaya's story so much better than I do, but she's a young mom in our community. Mm-hmm. She's got a couple of children that still live with her, some grown kids, but she's been transformed. Mm. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, our tagline at City of Refuge is return dignity, restore lives, rebuild community. Mm. And it's this whole belief that they are the rebuilders.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's Isaiah an invitation. Yes, Isaiah 61. And that
she's like,
no,
that's
a great one too.
58,
yes.
61. Yeah,
yeah. Yes. A lot of them. But the invitation to return.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is the scene from Hook, if you've ever seen it, where Peter Pan is looking at himself in the water and he doesn't know he's Peter. Mm-hmm. He forgot who he was.
Yeah. Yep.
And he Lion cannot King see.
Yeah.
Right? You can't. He has no reflection. And the Lost Boys are throwing their food, and it's bright and colorful. Yes. And he can no longer see his original design.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he suddenly gets a glimpse. And Tink is over the shoulder going crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And she says, there you are, there you are. And the longer the reflection stays, he finally remembers who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I think about the invitation to return, it's the moment that people get to see the reflection, the design of who God made them to
Absolutely.
Be. And when I think about, you know, someone like Samaya, who lost her mother at 11 years old to overdose, who ended up being trafficked. We did not know this until she had been with us for over a year. She had been trafficked in Reno in a brothel as a teenager. You know, the drugs and the things that you do to cope with the pain and the trauma and witnessing death and, you know, sexual abuse as a child. When you look at the majority of trafficking victims, when you look at the context of the United States, most of them were sexually abused as children.
Mm-hmm.
Their homelessness is a part of not only their narrative, but their grandmother's narrative. When we look at complex trauma, the generational trauma of there's zero familiar. And yet the beautiful thing about God and heaven is that his reflection is always in us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing to see that when people have no familiar to look back to and you're like, where did that light even come from?
Yeah.
That in his creation, there's an awakening to see who he made us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Samaya, by the time she was 20 years old, she had four children. You know, children who she then had been in her ongoing addiction and, you know, the onset of mental health. And Danny, you would know this well, like so much of mental health today that pharma is medicating is all attached to attachment disorders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, you have diagnosis of borderline personality disorder and we try to medicate the depression, the anxiety part, the calm you down part, let's calm you. But we don't look at family. We don't look at the roots of attachments.
Yeah. Being born again.
Yes.
Oh, unique concept.
Being born again.
Yes.
And forming trust.
Yep. And forming trust.
Yeah.
And the concept of belonging, the very story of the gospel that Jesus came to bring us home into family. And she has three children, and her youngest was actually born while in our housing program.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And, you know, when you look at a young lady that her familial connections have really been that of one who has been orphaned and now is learning to mother all over again.
Yeah.
And that beautiful space of restoration and some that just need forever home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know that she, you shared with me that she's just the Loving Your Kids on Purpose course or Parenting 101. We changed the name of it. And you also shared with me a young single dad that's doing it and sent a clip of him playing with his kids.
Yeah.
You know, and just being present, which I don't want to talk about it because I'll cry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Jed lives in one of our family housing places through our partnership with the City of Sacramento. And he, last October, was released from prison. He's actually now been out for a year now. But he had come to our housing facility 6 months being out of prison and had just his mother of his children, she was in the life in prostitution and drug addiction. And so she gave him custody of his kids and he's sitting there. And
he had been living in a tent with those children. And it's very interesting when you look at some of the tent cities and the spaces. Jed was living in one of those tents covered with a tarp with babies.
Yeah, like under two.
Oof.
And his kid turned two while he was there at the motel. And we got to celebrate this child's second birthday. And so to give you a little context, and he's a validated Norteño, tattoos, all braid, all, you know, going down the back.
Yeah.
And you know, a very kind young man.
Yeah. So
but,
precious.
You know, you could see, if you look at him, you could see the life that he's lived.
Yeah.
And, you know, just had no concept of what it looked like. No father in his life. His dad was in a criminal lifestyle. And when you get to know his story, you see why he repeated those things.
Yeah.
And he, you know, actually lost, he fathered another child that wasn't biologically his, that was actually brutally murdered by a caretaker while
he was
in prison. And, you know, just, and so dealing with that loss of this child that he loved and took as his own, and just so much loss. We went through the Parenting 101 course and would show up. He would walk to City of Refuge to get on computer. He didn't have a computer himself. And he, even though he had already gone through the parenting classes, he's like, I want to go do it again. Can I go get on the computer? I want to refresh.
Me too.
And watch.
I have to keep doing it.
Like, come on. And go, I've never known this. Mm. And watched him just become a dad and joy spaces. And he's still at the motel right now, but you show up and there's this bebop in his step, and he'll show up and give you hugs and dap, you know, and hey, what's up? And you know, and I'm taking my kids, we're gonna go get some ice cream. And I'm just like, who are you, Jed?
Yeah. It's
been amazing to just watch this transformation happen in this young man. It's nothing but God.
Yeah. I remember you know, a part of the homicide that was attached to his narrative is that he was raising two other children who biologically were half to the sibling that had been murdered. It was on the news, happened in South Sacramento this last year. And so what happened was CPS actually came to the motel to check on the other siblings. And they discovered that there was an old 5-year restraining order that had him listed on it and his child.
Oh, geez.
And so this is such a beautiful story of how Kingdom steps in.
Yeah.
So I knew the social worker. You know, I think even when we talk about our community is from politicians to social workers to service providers to those. Like, they are all our community of mission. So I happened to know the social worker, and she said, Rochelle, we have to remove Josiah from Jed. And I said, listen, I said, we're already going through so much grief. Like, can we? He's doing this. She goes, we have to. And I said, would you allow us to find a foster family while we work with him on getting this order? And the social worker said, we will help him with the order. It's probably going to be a couple months. I got on the phone. I said, hey, guys, I need a favor.
Yeah.
The family said yes. Then I called the social worker back. I said, hey,
I need a favor.
I said, can you not remove him? Will you allow me to take him? It'll be so less traumatic on Jed.
Oh. Yeah.
And so we got to enter into that space.
Wow.
Jed felt grounded. He felt safe. Yeah. Josiah ended up leaving, and when he left, Jed's just crying, and I've got my case manager, Jack, with him, and Mike Horn, who's doing therapy with us, with him. And I said, Jed, do you know what your name means? And you see this kid with tattoos from his head all the way down his neck. He said, no. I said, beloved. Mm. Your name means beloved. I said, do you know, like, how precious? You are a loved son. You're so precious to God. And then I started, you know, we do that stuff. And then I'm a kind of a straight shooter, and it can be a little hard-nosed. I'm like, next day, now it's time to get into your business. I look in your Instagram. I'm like, what is this? And I said, if this is who you want us to say you are, you got to change your narrative.
Yeah.
And we got to start working on this stuff. Like, take it down, put it away, change your name.
Yeah.
And
Mother Pippi came out.
I ended up looking on his Instagram.
Right.
And he changed his handle from a gang-affiliated name to Believe in Me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about family, when I think about healthy parents, when I think about God's beautiful design is that we believe in this next generation to share with them the spirit of inheritance, the spirit of adoption that Jesus carried.
Yeah.
And what we give them is belief again.
Yeah.
And we invite them into, like City of Refuge Church belonging. Says, into belonging.
Yeah.
And Jed has just continued to show up. And I'm super excited because we haven't even got to share with you about the next in this restorative housing complex and some of that light. But when I think about the next, it's that Jed and his children are worthy of Jesus' death and resurrection, mm-hmm. and they are worthy of gardens and not dumpsters to continue mm-hmm. to grow and heal yeah. in yeah. with family and nurture and belonging and yeah. connection yeah. at the heart of that. Yeah. And that is not the job of government. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Government can come and add and supplement and create streams, but that is the opportunity for kingdom to build something and for the Church of Jesus Christ to carry the Father's heart of adoption for our nation.
Yeah, and the government can create, help create structure for life to flow.
Absolutely.
But the government is not the life.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. The government cannot be the life.
Yeah.
The school system cannot be the life.
No. No.
We are the life
yeah.
right.
that structure is yeah. is protecting, promoting, hosting. But
yeah.
the government is not going to provide yeah. the yeah. life.
Jesus didn't invite people to his organization, mm-hmm. to his
government.
But the government they thought he was going to create was very, very different.
He didn't and come he kept as a reminding, king. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he died as a king.
And we watch Jesus's life, and he, you know, obviously the greatest example of how to live, but his the way he flowed was in relationship, was in yeah. family, was yeah. it? He didn't say, "Hey, you're come join my organization." He said, "Hey, mm-hmm. hey, come follow me. Yeah. Come eat what I eat. Come yeah. do what I do. Come watch me work."
Yeah. And belonging is just another word for attachment.
Yeah,
and yeah. another word for attachment is connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that whole thing of
powerful
building, promoting, strengthening connection
yes.
with people yeah. who have been so traumatized
yes.
by their connections
right.
yes.
that
right.
they've vowed to never make another
yes.
one.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. The safest place I could ever be is disconnected from mm-hmm. everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Including
that trauma yeah. is exactly yeah. what you guys are facing.
Yep.
You know, we say to our one of our values in our housing program and with our team is we protect connection, preserve relationship, empower choice.
Mm-hmm.
We do not rescue. We do not save.
Mm-hmm.
We empower the choices of
it.
People.
Yeah.
It allows us to release them.
Powerful
it allows
people.
Us to not powerful
oh.
people.
No.
To,
no. They're doing
not
the Kylo
to be saviors.
Kylo
That's
five.
What's happening here.
Our opportunity is connection.
Yeah.
And if you take it too far and try to control, we ruin relationships
yeah. Mm-hmm.
when we
mm-hmm.
want more than what people are ready for. And
yeah.
then we empower their choice. And so when they choose these things, we celebrate them.
Yep.
We merely make room
yep.
for that to happen.
Yep. Yep. And if you don't stay powerful and you don't manage yourself
mm-hmm. right.
in all your efforts to transform somebody, your quality of life goes away. Your peace goes
That's
away.
Right. For sure.
You're now jacked up with fear and anxiety because yeah. of this, that, yeah. and the other thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, watching you guys stand in this level of demand,
mm.
and that's what it is. I mean, you guys stand in the demand.
Mm. Yeah.
And you manage yourselves.
Yeah.
You then get to stay connected to what the Father's doing
mm-hmm. yeah.
instead of get caught up in what needs to be done.
The yeah. urgent, the now, the chaos. That
and
is.
We love one another. A
and
lot.
Great.
What a good
we
idea.
Have a great marriage.
It is.
What a good
yeah.
idea.
Like having a healthy marriage in the uh-huh. middle of this and family, it's like these foundations, if we don't carry them, we can't bring them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And this is like whole healthy families, boom, mm-hmm. are going to save the world.
Right.
Boom.
Bam.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yep.
Yeah. what a concept. No, it really is, though.
Or at least this part of the world.
Yeah.
It had to happen here first, mm-hmm. you know, and that so much of what we do today has been birthed out of our own experience of walking through healing with God. And mm-hmm. I remember being that kid, that young 20-something yeah. year old kid that was trying to earn God's approval
yeah.
by being on a stage and performing
yeah.
and you know, I just anything I could do to whip up a feeling
yeah.
of God likes me more
yeah.
or God's
yeah.
okay with
mm-hmm.
me. And
mm-hmm.
and I just I kind of like bring that into what we do and just know that there's thousands of people living in that same place of, would you just like me? Would you,
mm-hmm.
can
yeah.
I do whatever
yeah.
I need
do
to
I
do
belong?
To get you to accept
yeah.
me? And,
yeah.
and you know, when you flip the table over and you realize that, mm-hmm. that God already did that for us.
Yeah. You're not,
and we can live as loved and accepted people and
yeah.
create that space. It's just, it's mm-hmm. transforming what
it's
happens.
It's the trap of being, you know, or getting sucked into living as a human doing.
Yes.
Right.
You know, like I'm only as valuable as what I give to you.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
That I, you know, the especially a poverty culture is so, it's so entrenched in being pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that I'm really only as valuable as either I can make you feel.
Yep. Yep.
Or I can scare you.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, and so it's all coming out of my own anxiety. Like I'm performing for acceptance, or I'm commanding respect.
And then relationships are just birthed out of transactions, and it just what I can get from you and what I can give you, and you know, we call that a relationship.
And so learning to be is some of the first parts of belonging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
so
know,
good.
Like I have to find out who I am, whose I am, and why I'm here.
Yep.
And so thank you so much for that.
I know.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, one of the questions I have for you guys is, you know, the question of what's next? You know, what are you building? What are you aiming towards? Because you guys are dreamers.
I'm so excited.
We've been, you know, I've had conversations with you and different things. But you know, when you're connected to the vine, you get to produce fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading that this morning in John 15, and I just think you guys are so connected to the vine, and so you've gone through pruning in different seasons, and I just feel like there's something next. And what is it? So that, you know, we can be directing our prayers, directing our resources, directing our funds. I mean, how can we continue to be champions for the City of Refuge? What is next?
Yeah. Go for it.
So.
And I'll jump in.
So my husband also is a lover of history. And so likes to see, like, what happened in spaces. And 3 years ago, or well, 7 years ago, when we moved into our community center and building on Martin Luther King Boulevard, there was a field next door, and Lauren ended up looking up the history of the field that had been vacant. And on this field, between the span of 10 years, there was numerous young ladies that had gone missing from our community. Anywhere from 14 years old to 27. We have a documented, the first one was 10 years prior, and they ended up finding 9 girls that were all seen at the time as addicts and prostitutes, and they had been killed by one man.
This is back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s, in 1985. And we have 3 people on our staff today. One is his sister was killed, and then 2 of our girls that are on our team, their mother was actually kidnapped by him 10 years prior and escaped.
Oh, wow.
And you can look him up, Morris Solomon, homicidal handyman of Oak Park. He's actually on death row in San Quentin.
Wow.
And so the last thing that existed on our field was the house of the very last victim that was it. She was killed in that house. The detectives found her, led to 6 other bodies about 2 blocks from our house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The house was demolished. We hear stories about the smell of death that was in the neighborhood, and nothing has existed since. So Lauren actually heard the history of this land, and he says, we got to buy this land.
Naturally.
And
of course,
that's what one does. Yeah.
We have to buy this land. You know, like, let's take it back. Let's watch Kingdom repurpose it.
Wow.
Like, we love Magnolia.
Can we believe that life can come from death?
Yeah.
Can we believe
that? Can we flip the narrative and not let that be the last thing that happened?
Yes.
It can't stay a parking lot.
Wow. Joanna Gaines, if you are listening, I'm coming for you. I have a story. And we've watched God do that. Like, our family shelters are former trap houses. Like, let's just take it back and make room and create an invitation. And so the story goes on. A couple of years later, we ended up buying the field, put our mark on it, put heaven's mark on it. Not our mark. Yeah. We put heaven's mark on it. We hope to be a very small part of this story. There's so many others that will be honored and be a part of it. But I had this woman tell me, she says, you know, that was our church when we were kids. I said, what are you talking about? It was just a house. She said, girl, us little black kids, we didn't have a place for a church. She goes, we had choir in the basement. She goes, so many kids learned about Jesus in that living room. And I don't know what happened to the pastor, if he left or he died or what happened. The house was vacant. Death came in, and then it was demolished. Yeah. And when she told that story, I just heard Holy Spirit say, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I suddenly saw something going up. And it was the church that Jesus Christ is building and resurrecting. We will preach the gospel. We will live out this message. We will believe that prayer is our power. But it is going to be a church that looks like Jesus, that says, sons and daughters, come home. Mm-hmm. So we have actually had designs. You know, I love this because as a builder, you know, Lauren and I are so different in our spaces and how we operate in our lanes. And, you know, Lauren is foundations and building those things. And he really was the one that saw this. And actually, we had architectural designs. We have the opportunity to buy the other half of the block. And so it's pretty extensive. I started with children. That was my heart. That is my love. Mm-hmm. Why we came into housing was because those little girls grew up and they ended up coming back. Yeah. We don't want sons and daughters to come back running through our doors. We believe that God wants to create a safe world for children. Mm-hmm. And what children want more than anything is family. Mm-hmm. They want their parents. Yeah. What those parents, what often gives those parents the courage mm-hmm. to take the next step is because they don't, if you listen to every fentanyl addict, meth addict, formerly incarcerated dream that has a child, you say, what do you want there? What do you want for their child? What do you hear? I want them to have a different life than I have had. Yeah. And what has been lost is that connection, that nurture, the attachment that they never had. Yeah. But there is this opportunity once again for them to be like Peter Pan, to see an original reflection. Mm-hmm. And so I actually just got back from Washington, D.C. I have been in this awakening since Tuesday. My husband actually at a strategic meeting said, what if we turn this whole thing upside down? Mm-hmm. What if we see children at the front door and not the back door? Mm-hmm. And we build—
not just a result of what we do, but that's actually at the first forefront. Goal. And build our programs around that, build what we do around children.
Yes.
And the byproduct is that mom and dad get healthy too.
Yeah. Yes. But,
and now you're sending whole healthy families
out
to save the world.
Yes. And so it's like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we look at our designs and I honestly, because I'm a seer and I looked at our capital campaign, I'm not going to send any of you to it yet because it's ugly and it looks stoic. And when I look at that, I think Ghirardelli Square, I think Big Mama's Sweet Shop in the bottom with ice cream and bouncy balls and wonder. Yeah. It's restoring really wonder, restoring color, rebuilding this thing that, like, even aesthetically, you know, it feels like Switzerland, the magic, the wonder of heaven coming to earth with children at the forefront. And the reason it's not a housing first model, is the reason why we drug test is that that doesn't create a safe world. You know, the reason why we want to create a safe world for children and put children at the forefront of our why with families and adults that have spent their whole life trying to recover from childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this dream a few weeks ago and I kept on saying, where are the children? Where are the children? At a vigil a few years ago, about 10 years ago, I told Lauren on our way back, I was kind of shaking. I felt like I saw the face of hell. Mm-hmm. And I said, we've seen this human trafficking era, but the next era, there's going to be a spirit of death. And I saw almost like child soldiers and no more children because so much nurture had been lost. Yeah. And I'm sitting at the national event with the Center for Missing and Exploited Children at this gala. And one of my dear friends actually was the lead prosecutor that worked on a 5-year project that shut down the largest human trafficking ring in the world, Backpage, that was making billions off of children being exploited. And so my friend invited me to go with her and sit at her table. And this light bulb came on and God said, you're going after missing children. Mm-hmm. We're going to find missing children. Mm-hmm. Missing children that these adults that became offenders because, like, they never got a chance to be a child. Yeah. And now they're moms and now they're dads. But God is going to use the children to remind them, to bring them home and to restore wonder again. Like, imagine if people didn't just survive. Imagine if we got past that. Imagine if we got back making it. I told our chief of police when he called me, he said, what do we do about this homicide rate? I said, get out of the batting cage. We got to get out. The balls are coming 100 miles an hour. We got to get out and say, what happened. And I believe that heaven's coming to earth. I think that we are going to see a move of God like we have never seen before. And how exciting to be in these times, in this day. It's not going to be black and white. Color is returning and wonder is going to be restored.
Come on.
So with that, we see a holistic life transformation, child-centered, where families live, where their lives are rebuilt. We'll have we have plans for 60 units, for 60 families and individuals to be able to live on the campus there. All of their classes happen there. All of their keeping their love on and parenting 101.
LOP will be housed there.
All of the stuff there.
Fully in
but jobs and life and everything be able to happen. And when she says the church, I just think we have the opportunity to really reframe who and what the church is. We're not abolishing the worship services and all of that, but we get to see Jesus put on display 7 days a week, not just on Sundays, in the context of our neighborhood. And we get to see lives completely change there. Mm-hmm. And so we see it in a micro level. We really believe that this will be a one-stop shop for life transformation, where it gets to happen 365 days a year.
Yeah, and I love it's family restoration.
Yeah.
You know, it's not family intervention.
No.
You know, you start there. Obviously, you have a front door.
Yes,
but this is a family university, if you will.
That's beautiful.
You are moving people through to find, because of hope.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody wants to go.
No.
Not everybody wants to go. That's the hardest thing to deal with.
Not everybody's ready.
Not everybody wants the wonder.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it you have to be taught that kind of hope.
Yeah.
You know, you have the courage to believe that for your future is supernatural.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not available when they walk in the door.
No.
They maybe have a hope for survival.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe a magnificent self-preservation.
Yeah.
But what they don't have a hope for is legacy,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that's how you're moving people. You are moving people into, from going to, I have to escape my childhood.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be a child. Yeah. Actually, children get eaten.
Right.
You know, that the worst thing in the world you could be, and to accept that you are a child of a loving father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then be willing to grow into being a loving mother and father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a transformation.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That only happens when you believe that it's possible for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our unique job, is that when young women came into our housing program year after year after year, we would hear this all the time. This is not what I expected. I'm expecting this drab shelter, and I'm expecting it to, you know, there's a prison without bars.
Yeah.
You know,
where's the shame? Well, I don't know. Where'd all the shame go?
Yeah.
You know, where's the punishment?
Right.
And
they
get
here,
and it's a home.
Yeah.
And they get to rethink what home is and does and feels like, and then they watch the light bulb come on in their kids. We've had kids show up that the parent thought that they were mute, that they couldn't talk, or that they were autistic, that they hadn't spoken, the trauma that these kids had incurred, and after, you know, 3 months of living in this new living situation, they start talking, and they start, you know, they thought they were nonverbal. They're like, this kid's just exploded, and then, who are you?
Life
begins to change when they think that something's possible that they never believed possible, and that's really what we hope to do.
And that's, you know, the definition of a safe place right there. There is the fruit of a safe place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That kid is hiding.
Yep.
Yeah.
A small target. I'm just going to say a really small target, and now it's safe to come out.
Yeah.
Well, if you could say anything to our partners or our audience that's listening, that, you know, they can lean into, what target would you give them?
I mean, my mind's going a couple of different places. When, you know, I think the first thing that I want to encourage people is, a lot of times you hear stories like this, and it's really easy to disconnect yourself from all that. That's good for them. Yeah. I just live a normal world. I have my 9 to 5. Yeah, I have my job. There's, you know, I'm not called to walk and live in the streets of Oak Park or anything. But there's a world that God's called you to, and there's a life that you're called to transform your world around, and to really see your unique opportunities and your unique value in the world that you live in. Mm-hmm. Start in your own home.
Yeah,
like make sure that your kids have that opportunity to grow up, because you're raising world changers. You're raising life changers. And I think that some of the people connected to your podcast are really going after that, and encourage you there. That's not a bad thing to start with. If God's like moving you to maybe partner here, and if you're in the Sacramento area, there's some great ways. Yeah. We're 15 minutes down the freeway.
Yep.
You know, we're not that far, but you know, we're watching God intersect the lives of hundreds and thousands of people on a yearly basis. And we believe the story's bigger than Lauren and Rochelle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways that you can connect.
And I would say find your mission, be a part of mission, get behind mission. Yeah. And I also believe that it's time for Kingdom to unite missions.
Yeah. Yes.
And I believe that those three things, we're going to see some crazy acceleration.
Yeah.
You know, is that like, be able to come to the table and bring missions together and see kingdom explode.
Are you suggesting that we team up?
Come on. Okay.
So this is nothing, if you're listening, this is nothing that they asked us to do, but I really believe that people that have supported you have enabled you to support us. And so when you give to keeping your love on, when you give to this ministry, you're actually enabling tools to be shared with organizations like ours.
And we're not the only one they share with.
No. And these are tools that cost a lot of money to develop and everything. So like partner with Kylo, partner with you guys. Like you're helping them help us. And so and then you can also help us too. I think that we have a kingdom opportunity to build something that is unlike anything that I've ever seen in operation. Let's do something that like really makes an impact. And I just think God's up to something here in Sacramento.
And it's going to take billions.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take billions of cash resources to pull all this off, you know. And I don't know how we communicate that we're one, you know, that we're one team. I don't know exactly yet how to do that, but it's true.
It is.
It's true. It's like there's not, you know, it's not like get your piece of the pie, because there's not one pie. There's we live in a bakery. You know, we just live in a bakery, and there's just so many ways that this happens. And so I think if somebody sat through these two podcasts and they have not written you a check yet, they need to check their pulse. I'll just say that, you know. The City of Refuge, SAC.com is, I hope it's pretty. You know,
I hope so too. I'm going to relook at that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
kind of having visions and dreams the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And
I hope it's pretty.
Yes. You know,
because when they get there, I just hope that they are full of wonder.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, when they get to that site.
Yes.
If not,
and
you know,
hospitality and invitation. Yeah. Oh, can I tell you? I have a basket and rocking chairs in the front of our center. So mad because the county of Sacramento says you can't leave fruit in the basket. And it was just brought color and it felt so hospitable. Lauren's like, babe, we can get so fine. And I said, they need manners. Like, they need, I mean, when someone comes and sits on your porch, offer them something. He says, well, you can bring it. You just can't leave the fruit. It looked so cute out there, Danny. Like, Dwayne how loved rude. It. It was rude.
Yeah.
We probably need a counseling session.
Yeah. After
plastic fruit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you guys so much for coming. And I love our partnership. I love where it's going. I love where we're building. There's so much more going on in our hearts. And we get to connect after this, which I'm super excited about. But it is...
Because there's bigger dreams.
Because there's bigger dreams. And you don't know them yet because we're still dreaming.
Yeah. Stay tuned. 91. Yeah.
They'll be back, most likely. There's more to come. But, you know, we have partners. We have donors. We have people that are sowing into us so we can sow into people that are doing things that are phenomenal. And you're on the front lines in so many ways. And I love your heart for people. It is just inspiring to remember, I gotta love bigger, and I gotta just be willing to open my heart and say, God, what are you calling me to? Mm. So thank you so much for all of that. I love it, and I'm gonna sign off before I start crying because I love them so much. Mm. So, Whole Healthy Families are gonna save the world.
That's right.
Thanks so much.
Boom.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, Whole Healthy Families, gonna save the world.